WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and real Dan, that's me, says Happy New Year for the first time this year. Fake Dan, who was pre-recorded in 2020, was previously saying Happy New Year, but it's genuinely 2021, it's the 21st of January of 2021, and thanks to the events that happened in Washington yesterday as we were recording, I'm doing precisely 98% less doom scrolling today.
Yay!
So I'm joined, as ever, by a man who needs no introduction, but will give himself one anyway. Come on,
man. Hi!
How you doing?
Good, 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 good. We're back after Christmas and New Year's, and there's no pre-recorded shows in place, so we can actually mention current events. But why do that? Because the world's still crap. So let's just talk about video games.
And a man who's emerging from his very own dumpster fire, it's Tim Hibbs. Say hello.
Hello.
How you doing, mate? Happy New Year?
Yeah, Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year.
Bit of a diss thrown at East Finchley there.
Well, not East Finchley, very specifically Tim's flat.
Calling it a dumpster fire? Oh, his flat. Okay.
Right, okay.
No, that's fine.
And I have a question, boys.
No, I don't have a PS5 yet.
We're going to get... No, that was one of them. Do you have a PS5 yet? No.
No. Still angry at Curry's.
Apparently, absolutely everything that involves computer chips is just not being made anymore because there's a bit of a shortage of all kinds of silicon all over the place.
Well, there's also a lot of scalping going on in terms of video game consoles. I'm not sure about the graphics card side of things.
There's
your thing first, Dan, because I've got a little gripe on Curry's again, if you'd like to indulge me so.
I have a question, Coleman.
Yes?
This is for those of you who are enjoying the video version of this here podcast. I think you might be building up to be our very own Kratos cosplayer, because I'm just going to run through the checklist. And this is for our audio listeners rather than our video watchers. Big baldy head.
Check.
More svelte physique than this time last year.
Check.
Yes.
Flex them guns.
Thanks for the water pistol show. That was great. and a rather increasingly manicured kind of goatee beardy thing.
It's just a beard, Dan.
It's Calm just down. A beard. Yeah,
no. But the goatee bit's longer.
There's no goats in his beard.
Yeah, the goatee bit's longer. So, Coleman. I have a question. Are you indeed Kratos?
Not yet. I trimmed my beard so I looked a bit more presentable today. And before this, it was all kind of growing outwards. And then I'd wax it and I'd put it down. And it did look a bit Kratos-y. And I thought, I better shave this or he's going to make some kind of crack about me looking like Kratos.
And you did anyway. You just rolled.
So I look forward to the red lightning bolt being stenciled onto your face next week.
I'm disappointed that that's the one bit that would have been on brand, and that's the one bit you've held off on for now.
I mean, I could probably, if I could actually be asked to grow any of my face hair out, or it grew at all properly, I would. I could probably get away with a Gordon Freeman. So that could be my video game bit of cosplay. And Tim, that leaves you. Yep. Who could Tim be?
Who couldn't Tim be?
Yeah.
Well, this is true.
Lara Croft.
Nice. Yes, that's who Tim's cosplay challenge is for this year.
I was
year.
Thinking
Lara
Max
Croft.
Payne with general grayness.
I thought I was taking that one as well.
Lara Croft. There you go, Tim. Yeah. That is your cosplay to cash in at any time of your choosing this year.
Okay. There you go. Can I talk about Curry's?
Yeah, talk about gripe away, mate.
I won't go too mad on this. So Curry's great. As everyone knows, I'm trying to procure a PlayStation 5 or 2 through Curry's, and it mainly Curry's is because I get a work scheme thing. They basically give out like a tech loan, and you don't pay any interest on it at all. So I've got those like gift voucher type things ready to go for the exact amount of two discless PS5s that I've been trying to get hold of.
And the reason you're getting two, just to be clear, is for yourself and for your other half.
No, eBay. I was thinking of flogging one for a grand.
Nice. All right. I try to make you look like a nice guy there, Coleman. But evidently, you know, my efforts are in vain.
So on Wednesday the 20th, one day before we were recording this here show, they decided. So, first of all, last week, Game put their stock up, went out instantly. I think Smith's put theirs out randomly as well. That instantly got nobbled up. Curry's didn't give any kind of warning that they were putting their stock up, nor did they email anyone on their waiting list to get said PlayStations, like myself. And after checking every single day since October about PlayStation 5s with Curry's, I woke up something like 10 minutes after they just decided to randomly chuck all their stock online and not tell anyone. I thought, oh, let's have a quick look at Twitter on my email up on my little alerts. And okay, they're all gone. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Kyries. You are making it very difficult to be a customer. And the other thing that annoys me about it is everyone seems to be doing their stock. So they haven't been getting the digital versions. And I thought, well, I might chuck a bit in, get the disc versions if I that means I can get them. No, because what they do is now they're not selling the consoles on their own. Everyone is selling their consoles in bundles to get rid of their stock of controllers and PlayStation Plus vouchers and PS4 games. Do you know how many bundles I see complete with a PlayStation 4 copy of Cyberpunk 2077?
Well, okay, all right, I can answer that question for you straight away.
Yeah, they can literally not give that away.
You're meant to be adding to the value, not subtracting. It's a bit of a kick in the dick. It's not been great trying to get hold of one of these things, and I was really holding out because it was going to be a nice Christmas present for my girlfriend. Now it isn't. Birthday's coming up very, very soon. I was thinking this might be a nice birthday present. That was a surprise. Nope, can't get one for her birthday. No. Looks of it, so,
Easter's coming up.
Yeah.
To be fair, I only got mine because I got a bundle that I didn't really want. I got a PS5 camera that I still haven't plugged into the actual
Which has
PS5
no use yet, unless you're streaming.
Yeah. So, which maybe I should do some. I got a camera. I don't know.
Yeah, as you evidently, we can see your face, Tim. You have a camera, I can confirm.
You should see if you could plug it into your MacBook. So you don't...
Look, we have enough technical issues with Tim already. let's just plug in
an external camera.
Be thankful for the pixelized hellscape that Tim appears in these videos.
Pixelized hellscape, that's a lovely way to describe his face, Coleman. Congratulations.
Absolutely lovely.
That's my Curry's rant. I'm sure I'll have another one in the next 2 months when they release their stock at 4 a.m. and sell them all to scalpers by accident again.
Seriously, and I know. We've gone through this again and again and again and again and again. But scalpers,
yeah.
Seriously, would you just do one and leave everyone be and let genuine customers enjoy products that have been released for them? For people to enjoy rather than for you assholes to make a load of money. All right.
I remember moaning about this on the podcast in the last console generation and saying that it should be something that should have been stopped for this console generation, especially when all the sales need to be online type of thing. I mean, it makes it much easier for scalpers, I would have thought.
So apparently Game have come out and said that because theirs weren't sales, they were pre-orders for sales, whereas Curry's did their stock outright and like their sales are turning up today, like next day delivery and stuff. Which is pre-order for an order. Which is really maddening to some of the people that got their launch day consoles like 3 days later when they paid £20 for next day delivery and then they didn't turn up until half a week later, whereas other people just order them, pay the regular price, and then they turn up the next day, the next morning. That's a bit maddening to them. But Game's actually going through their orders now and trying to work out if there have been bot sales, if there's like ridiculous multiples that have been sold and going through and trying to cancel those orders and list them online. But still, they also bundled up all their stocks, which seems really irritating in a way to kind of take advantage of people trying to get hold of a console during a global pandemic where money might not be as, well, you might argue, don't buy a console. But still, it's
I can understand why people want it, though. You need a distraction at the moment, and you need to stay inside. So,
well, the other argument that I'm sure Game would say is, well, they're facing financial trouble as well,
yeah,
and that's a way for them to increase their margins. But just a quick asshole update. This is brought to you by the good folks at eBay.com.
Who are not blameless in this whole thing as well. They profit off this whole problem. And they could do a much better job of shutting people down, but it's not in their financial interest to do so.
They made it in their terms and services a long time ago that you can't resell concert tickets on eBay because people are sporting the tickets, that kind of stuff, because they do get scalped and they do get counterfeited and people get taken advantage of. But still, £1,000 PlayStation 5s marked up double,
more than
double. That's
people being taken advantage of. You know?
Yeah, like, exactly. And it keeps on happening. And again, just to go back to the Game one as well, there was one of the companies of the providers of a bot that they use, and they track the service and stuff of the bot, and were bragging just openly bragging to Game
about the 2,000 consoles they got.
2,000 plus orders through Game alone.
But it seems that things are going for like between 750, 850, 900 quid. Although someone for £1.30 did sell a poem written to PS5 scalpers.
I saw that.
Which is, that's beautiful. You are your mother's runts, a paedophilic bunch of... Anyway, I'm going to say... that got a lot ruder a lot quicker than I was expecting. Sitting on a 12-inch pole, I hope your hole Wow. Wow. Angry. Coleman, do you think that you got done for only getting £1.30 for that? I think it's your style. I mean, it's got that kind of borderline...
I've seen a lot of people putting listings down as PlayStation 5s, but they're just a picture and then the thumbnail, and it says something like, hey guys, don't sell to scalpers, like that kind of stuff.
Anyway, talking about, we've done enough commenting on stuff, and as we've discovered many
times. Good
luck
with your PS5, Coleman, though. Good luck.
Thank you. Hope you get one. To anyone else trying to get one. By the way, I've had 4 different occasions where I could have got an Xbox Series X or an Xbox Series S. Absolutely fine, no problem.
Perhaps like that might be an option.
Yeah. I don't want it. I want my...
I can understand.
I got a PC. I don't need the Xbox right now.
I know.
I don't need the PlayStation. Anyway, I want the PlayStation.
Shall we? Because Tim's got games to talk about, and two of them are going to make you angry.
Do we?
PS5.
Sure.
Tim.
Yeah.
Your New Year's resolution, I've made it for you, is brevity.
Oh.
Okay? Brevity. That means... Shut that up, all right?
I've 2 slices of brevity to make a beautiful conversational sandwich.
And you are the mechanically formed spam in that sandwich, Tim. You ready?
Yes.
Right, okay, Tim, we understand you have been playing some games. You should tell us about those games.
Well, you mentioned some stuff I've been playing on the PS5, and I can get those out of the way a little bit faster, so I will do so. I have just begun playing Hitman 3 after it came out yesterday.
I almost picked that up on PC. I was very tempted.
I've only played through the first level, having assassinated both targets, and just started the second level, which is quite excitingly in England and looks fantastic so far. But yeah, like literally... only really played the first level, and we'll come back to it maybe in future episodes and stuff. It does feel a bit Hitman 2.5, but I'm absolutely fine with that. And just more locations, a bit more variety. It's a very replayable game. You get the first and second game as part of buying it you're basically buying the trilogy. I haven't messed around with any of the VR stuff yet. I hear that is somewhat limited in terms of graphical kind of fidelity and stuff like reflections being missing. And
I heard performance isn't that good, and you don't use the move controllers. You have to use the controller.
The controller, yeah.
DualShock.
Just, I'm going to press the pause button there.
Yep.
Timothy, you said both games, you're essentially buying the trilogy.
The trilogy,
now,
yeah.
My understanding is that this is the case with the PC.
Yeah.
That you buy it on PC, you can import the game data from Hitman 1 and 2, and all of the previous levels have been given a bit of... You can play them in the Hitman 3 engine. Is that the case?
Right, yes, apart from... And this may be especially because I just bought the game and didn't get a review copy, so I was like trying to sign in to their servers... Probably at the peak time. It was like the evening of the day the game came out. And you had to access a website and do a load of stuff. And that was taking ages just to kind of register and get through. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm going to have to do all that. No. So I could not be bothered to import, basically. But it did seem to be a problem for other people as well, from what I saw today as well.
If you have, because I too am playing Hitman 3, but I'm not playing Hitman 3 because I'm playing Hitman 1 on Hitman 3.
Right.
Hitman was, it was in PS Plus last year in February, I think. So I've got it through that. And I can't remember why I have 2, but I have 2. And apart from the alpha demo walkthrough thing I played ages ago, I've never played these games. So I thought...
2 is fantastic in places. That's why I'm not upset about it being 2.5.
I was like, well, everyone's talking about 3 and how great 3 is. I'm going to play me some Hitman. I'm just going to go through this campaign. And I started on one, and then I heard you can import it into two. Because I remember you saying about that, Tim. So I looked into it, and it went, oh, your saves don't carry across from one to two. Okay, I'll start again on two, and I'll move my data across. And then I looked into it again, and they said, oh, you can move it into three, and it will play through three's engine, and there's some... it's mostly like lighting and like nice looking bits added to it. You're not going to see a huge difference in the game, but in the mechanics have been updated to 3's engine as well. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll pick up 3, I'll import the two over, and I'll play them that way. And that's what I'm doing. The website thing you're talking about, Tim, it's to move your save data. So you can, if you've got the games, you own the games, you can play them through 3. If you don't own the games, you can buy DLC add-on packs, which are priced the same price as the games currently are RP'd.
Yeah.
Which, madly, if you want the Hitman 2 and the expansion pass, I think it's more. It turns out more expensive than Hitman 3 with the expansion pass, which is a bit.
So, but the one slight annoyance with that, I know, I'm about to play the world's smallest violin as a member of the good old PC Master Race.
I think I know what you're going to say, and I have the answer already.
So Hitman 3 is an Epic Store exclusive.
Oh.
But Hitman 1 and 2, all the copies I own anyway, are on Steam. Like Coleman, I've got the old Hitman games, and I really only just dipped my toe into them, so I'm probably going to replay... Or we'll start playing probably Hitman 1 and 2 first, and then when 3 drops in price, pick it up. But I understand that they have made a comment that once we work out how to verify your purchase, we will make sure that you can access all of that content, regardless of whether it was on the Epic Store or not. So, I mean, they haven't come up with what that solution is going to be yet, but that's good that they're looking into it.
Yeah, at the moment, they're looking into it. So it's not available right now on PC, but it will be available. However, if you go through, like we do every week, pick up the free games off Epic Game Store, you probably have Season 1 on Epic Game Store already to go, so you can import that into Season 3.
I didn't click that because I was like, oh, good, on Steam, can't be bothered.
Silly boy. You download it regardless. That's what I do with everything.
Yeah, those confusions aside, I did see that the devs said something about that Hitman 3 with all of the Hitman 1 and 2 content was half the size of Hitman 2.
Yeah, it's 100 gigs to import all of the game, or the two games into the one game, because they've managed to shave some off through technical wizardry.
It's
quite impressive. But... And I don't know if that's just like compression of video files for cutscenes or what they've been doing there, but hey, it works.
They love reusing an asset. That's what they did. They reused an asset. Ooh,
well, Agent 47 is a reused asset, so that kind of works.
That's it. And also, he hasn't got any hair, so it's quite streamlined into importing into other engines and stuff and saving on the data Colin, that way.
This won't work for the audio podcast, but turn around.
No,
I haven't got a barcode on my head.
No barcode on the back, right, okay.
Those barcodes behind me, they're not real barcodes. They're just audio diffusers. I've checked. I've tried to see what they scanned. I was really hoping it was going to be like Tesco Value Cider or something, but no such luck.
Anyway, I'm playing through 1 and then going to go to 2, and then I'll play through 3, but 3 gives you the PS5 upgrade as well, so that will take the other games to the PS5 for all the shiny goodness and... all looking forward to it. The really cool thing is, if you only have Season 1 and don't have like the super edition with the special missions and all that kind of stuff, by having just number 1 and importing it into 3, they automatically give you it as a collector's edition, whatever they call it, ultimate edition. So they've added to that. But 2, you have to have the expansion pass or you don't get all those extra levels.
Right. And here's one extra level of thing. I owned at least Hitman 2. I presume Hitman 1. I'm pretty sure I did as well. But I owned them on my PS4 rather than the PS5 that I'm playing on. Add an extra level of thing. I just, with about 3 minutes to go, I was like, oh, I might actually pre-order Hitman 5 so I get the pre-order bonus as well, actually, rather than just buying it tomorrow, as I was thinking, I don't have much time to do this. Came and interrupted my flatmate who was playing Demon Souls, went and purchased it. I was like, odd. I thought I'd put my credit card details in here. Why am I having to put my credit card details
in? You just bought it for your flatmate.
Yep, bought it for my flatmate.
Good work.
That is That is the most Tim.
Yes. So I can play it. It's not a problem as long as his profile's on my console. But
sure.
But yeah, that may be a problem in the future.
Yeah, Tim, so I think I speak for all of us when I say this. You bell end.
But that's
you
also
absolute bell end.
But that's also why I don't know about the whole importing thing and why I skipped on the part of that as well. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do about that.
How?
But thanks.
How have you got to the grand old age of 43?
To be fair, I thought it's just, okay, I haven't put my credit card details into the PS5 yet because I haven't bought anything through the PS5 yet. That kind of made sense to me, and I was in a rush because I only had literally 3 minutes to get my credit card information through and make the purchase. So yeah, don't rush at buying games. It's bad.
I will say playing the old games on, because I have now literally for the first three levels played them in Hitman 1, Hitman 2 and Hitman 3. So by doing that, I have seen the improvements each time, and playing it on the new one, I like, so for instance, when you're playing in the first game, if you're dressed as a character, then unless you see someone who may go, hold on, I didn't employ a chef that has no hair and a barcode yeah. on his head, I'm suspicious of you, whereas a security guard might not notice and just let them
yeah.
through.
Let's go, ooh, baldy. If I'm splendid, thank you.
If you're, say again, dressed as a chef and you're walking through and you're holding, a knife, then they might go, hold on, so the suspicion meter might start ticking over because you're holding an object in a strange place than yeah. you would normally. So whereas in the first game, it would go, you're a chef, you're holding a knife. That makes sense. It'd be more so, hold on, you're a chef holding a knife in a crowd of
by
people.
The wrong end.
Suspicious. So yeah.
Yeah.
That kind
I like
of stuff's
that.
Quite
I,
cool.
Also from playing through the first level of the game as well, like I kind of bundled my way through it as I often do on the first go through on a level on Hitman, basically. And yeah, without giving away any spoilers for the level and stuff, I kind of got some of my outfits compromised so that I could be much more easily recognized in that, but then had a real
trousers
problem
and underpants.
I had
went
to be
on the
in
wrong
that
way
costume
again, right?
to go through a certain area, and then I had another problem where I took off that costume and was still wearing the AK that was okay with my last costume, not so good with my waiter costume.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah, that'll give it away.
And a few things like that. But it's a great, it's just a great little playground to run around and have some fun in, and very replayable, huge levels with lots of details and lots of fun ways to assassinate your targets and possibly accidentally assassinate other people on the way as well. But yeah,
so with bringing kind of, is it just the locations from Hitman 1 and 2, or is it all the missions that go along with those?
It's the missions, the stories, the side missions, everything's in there.
Awesome.
It's,
yeah,
so there's a lot of content there, especially if you haven't played so much of the previous games. Like, there are some levels on 2 Coleman where they are fantastic. I've heard that the earlier, not quite the levels I've played, but 2, 3, and 4 particularly, I've heard from a few different people, all those sorts of levels are some of apparently the best levels that IO Interactive have ever done. So I'm really looking forward to those. And yeah, like it's definitely, from what I've seen so far, a recommend, especially if you haven't played the previous games, because there's even more content there for you to enjoy possibly now yeah. as well. So,
and I'll just say it is worth importing that stuff over if you just have those games and you haven't finished them. You can play them all through the new engine and it works really, really well. But yeah, I've never been into Hitman at all. Like, the most Hitman I've ever played, I think I played 2, a mate gave it to me and I went, nah, don't like it. And then played Absolution. Is it Absolution? The 360 title.
Yeah.
Yes,
I think the thing that was 360.
Played that very briefly at Eurogamer Expo because they gave you a little Agent 47 if you played, and like that's the most I've ever played Hitman. So, and then tried the alpha. This one, from my understanding of the games of reception I've been looking at, is first game return to form, second game first game but funny, third game it's the first two games but now it's more serious, brutal, stabby, like more gruesome than everything else.
You mean this little Coleman?
I got one of
those. I mean Hitman.
Ah, look at him, he looks so angry.
Yeah, they're really cool.
I also have a Hitman duck, just, you know, because.
Oh, nice. I want that. I'm going to steal that. really good. I recommend getting it. I like the whole kind of living diorama type thing. I haven't tried any of those one-off missions where they stick like Sean Bean or something in your game and you have to go find him, because
presumably he just wanders around and says a lot. That's how you know it's Sean Bean.
Well, the
Omelette, you.
Well, the idea with those, because the game, every time, each time you play a level, it's the same thing. It's kind of this living diorama. Everyone's on a set path, and you can kind of manipulate that into doing different things, or you can take advantage and follow and do the same thing every time. Whereas the, I can't remember what they call them, this whatever missions.
Story mission? Oh, no.
No.
It's the other
contract.
Side.
Contract.
Contract.
Contract. The random contract.
There's
guys.
Two different Whenever, game modes. There's contracts when, and something else.
Yeah, apparently when they come in, they don't have a set route. They come in and that's the thing you've got to try and work around. It's not the normal diorama setting, and it's meant to be there for a limited time for each person as well. So that, you know, I'll have to play through the games a few times before I actually start jumping into that stuff. But yeah, Hitman's really cool. Who knew? Why didn't anyone tell me?
I've been telling you for years.
So many people have been telling me for years.
I must admit that, you know, I've been a bit
mustard.
That like Coleman. I mean, I've not really not been having my finger on the pulse particularly well with Hitman, but I'm very tempted to dive in. I'm just waiting for the stars to align with importing previous games content. That's all.
That's good, but I'm distracted by the fact I thought you said mustard mitt, as in a mitt of mustard. But yeah.
Well, okay. I just heard mustard and then Coleman, and then suddenly all these being bullied in school came back to me.
I forgot you don't like mustard.
No, I like mustard.
And is it true that
it's a very tired joke?
Coleman,
for me,
if someone licks you, they then go as well.
Sure,
are you more French or English mustard? Are you a smooth mustard or are you a grainy mustard?
It's definitely English mustard. It's Coleman.
I would say I'm a honey mustard.
Ooh. But you sell that to all the girls, don't you?
I don't think Commons make those. Anyway, Hitman, yes, good. Everyone go play Hitman of all varieties.
Good distraction right now.
So Tim, here's another game. You clearly hate yourself by playing this. Well, Kev's had a word with you. I cannot, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, I cannot see you having the patience for Demon's Souls.
I love Demon's Souls. Like, I really love the first game and have an affinity for it. The fact that this is a remake of that appeals to me more than any of the other Souls games or any other sequels they could have made, possibly. I think the first level in particular is one of the best well-designed levels in video games. Like, I think it's
high praise.
A fantastic piece of thing. Piece of gaming. And yeah, like, I it's a game that I love and hate at the same time, though, kind of thing. You know, I mean, like a real proper love-hate relationship with it. Like, it's, I think I played for the equivalent, getting aside from it, equivalent of about 3 nights where I was just trying to battle the Tower Knight and failing at least 2/3 of the time to even get to him, and then definitely failing when I got to him and just butting my head up against the brick wall until I just got the perfect run where I just, yeah, went through and beat him and then made loads of progression that evening by going through like the whole of the next level. And yeah, it's, I don't know, it's a fantastic game for anyone that hasn't played it or hasn't played any of the Soul stuff before. I think this is it looking its absolute best. It really is possibly one of the games that shows off the PS5 and what it can do
to play games,
best
mate.
Of its abilities. Yeah, but there's integration of stuff that I don't remember it being integrated before. Cause, yeah, I think it was PS3. So it was, yeah, before they had the speaker in the...
it was PS3.
It's one thing I mentioned before that I can see that working well in comic circumstances. I'm not sure how well it will work in a more serious game. But they've used that in really kind of subtle, nice ways. Like when you're going up on one of the elevators and stuff, the cranking of the kind of metal chains as you're going up comes through on the speaker and stuff like that. It's just little things that they put through that speaker and just little touches that weren't there before in terms of, you know, the triggers and stuff like that. Generally, it's a really hard, brutal game, and it's no different than it was before. It's slightly inaccessible in terms of you have to, like, I try and not Google things in games these days at all, but this one is one where I'm finding, like, okay, I really need to know what that object is or does, and I have to find out what it does. So I've been going on lots of wikis and kind of working things out and doing stuff like
Welcome
that.
Welcome to 2017. You know, it's a wild and crazy ride you've got ahead of you.
But trying not to get too many tips on, like, bosses and like, you know, how to get through the actual game. But I think I'm actually further in the game now than I actually got through in my first playthrough on PS3, basically. So yeah, I'm kind of keen to carry on and do a bit more. I'll gloss over that a little bit for now because, yeah, we've got other things to talk about. And yeah, but just to say, I'm really enjoying it. My flatmate's playing it as well, and he's never played a Souls game before as well. And like, I don't think he was really into it at first, but now he's got like, yeah, really deep into it. He's built like two other characters aside
that,
from playing bits
fully
of mine as well.
Stop homed up, is he?
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, like
now he's shouting at noobs on Twitter, telling them to get good, calling them scrubs.
But yeah, it's
get good, scrub.
It's still a great game and possibly the best looking game I've seen on PS5 so far.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Cool. I mean, Bluepoint do knock it out of the park every single time. I mean, they did the Nathan Drake collection, I think, and they did that really good Shadow of the Colossus remake on PS4, if you've not tried that. I heard as well they carried some secret stuff because they made some additions to Shadow of the Colossus that was kind of kept under wraps, and it opened up this new section and stuff. And the kind of secret stuff that they've done in that, they've also done in Demon's Souls to add something new to it as well. But one of the coolest things about this game I hear is that there is a slight kind of spoiler, not really story-wise, but mechanic-wise, but there is a boss in Demon's Souls that is literally an import of another player from, like, a live player they stick in the game, and you have to defeat them to carry on further, which was something in the PS3 that they had to shut off because they shut off the servers, so it wasn't available anymore. So that is now back in this version of the game. So that's cool
nice.
You can do that again. But the purists hate it because it looks too good. And you can tell what people's faces look like.
You could actually see things in the distance this time. It's not
but yeah,
right.
I think it looks fantastic. Sound design is fantastic. Plays really well. Like, it's a really enjoyable game.
And the menus,
game.
Tim? How are the menus?
But it is brutal. Menus, fine. Serviceable.
Yeah. I mean, I with a lot of From Software's games, I know this adaption's not done by From themselves, but I do sometimes find the UI on Souls games a little bit unnecessarily Spartan and actually gets in the way of playing the game. But again, purists will say, well, that's part of the joy of flagellating yourself with a PlayStation controller.
It seems like it could be a lot easier. And even if it wasn't done for ease, it could just be done just to look nicer. And yeah, anyway, but yeah. It's a bit confusing. Right.
I'm looking forward to playing it down the line sometime.
It's definitely worth picking up at some point. Yeah, if you're a fan of the previous game or Soul series in general and haven't played this one, then yeah, it's definitely worth playing. I'm enjoying it immensely.
Which kind of spells out that I might hate this.
Yeah.
Sekiro and Bloodborne in my jam.
Okay. See, I'm not sure. I'm going to play more of this, but then when I'm done with this, I might move on to Bloodborne. I didn't get into it from demos, but I'll see if I get into it, you know, getting a bit more deeper into the game sort of thing. But yeah. In the meantime,
doesn't this new version play at 60 frames per second?
Yes.
Then you got, that's it, you're gonna have to jump from 60 to 30 in a Souls game. That's gonna be jarring.
That's gonna hurt. That's not gonna be good.
Yeah, you can play in performance mode or what's the other one? Cinematic, I think they refer to it as.
Spanky mode.
But,
Spanky,
but
yeah, shiny, awesome mode.
I started in performance and
quality mode.
It does look nice and shiny, novice and mode. There's more reflections and stuff in the cinematic mode or whatever they call it.
That'll be that ray tracing, mate.
But yeah, but
it's all the rage.
It's a game that I think needs to be played in performance mode. I think it's a bit too precise, but yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It needs to be. Is it because you are now you've own a Demon's Souls game, you are an elite player and you need those low frame times in order to be the best you?
No, it's just I don't need another thing to have a possible excuse to moan about. Oh, that wasn't me. That was definitely the fact that I'm playing in the shiny mode. That's definitely why I died. No, I take that excuse away from me.
No, so you're now just down to the fact that you're a bit rubbish.
Yes.
If I remember correctly from professional Smite players a long time ago, they were getting very salty, where they basically won a PC tournament and then went, do you know what? Let's go do the console tournament. And they won that and went, it was so easy. Everything plays in slow-mo. So surely if you play 60 for a while and then jump to 30, you'll be the best at the game.
Right, yeah. But
by that logic.
Anyway, so yeah, that's what I've been playing quite a lot of over our break period and doing stuff. But also just before that, but it wasn't a chance. I didn't get a chance to speak about it before we sort of pre-recorded our episodes. And I think I was playing it around that time, but it didn't fit in with what we were doing. But yeah, a game that I did play that came out just before Christmas, I was given a review copy of, is a game called Wingspan. I was playing the Switch version. I believe it's available on PC already. But yeah, I own the board game and really like the board game. It's a very sort of tactile board game, and this is a video game version of that.
I have a question.
Yes?
How can a board game not be tactile?
It's not that it's not tactile. It's just that it's got some very good tactile elements to it that enhance the game. That is the one thing I would say is missing when you're playing the digital version, basically. The main thing being, and it's silly, but it kind of adds to it, there's a bird feeder that you roll all the dice through, and the dice give like different worms or fish or something, and they're different food items that you need to feed your birds. But it's actually what you need to do to kind of lay your cards, because the overall game is a set collection. It's an engine building set collection game, so you're placing birds in different habitats to give you different bonuses and enhance the bonuses that you get in those habitats from activating those habitats.
So is it like augmented top trumps is what you're describing?
Is this Hatterful Boyfriend again?
Oh, God.
No, it's more kind of your... As I said, the engine building side of things comes from how you place stuff in your habitat and the bonuses they give you. When you activate a habitat, you don't just get the bonus for activating that habitat. You get any bonuses that are triggered on the cards in that habitat as well. And you kind of work through them from right to left. But this means you can like add different effects together. So say, for example, the woodland is where you get your birds feed from and your food, basically. So you
I'll go to Pets at Home myself.
If you activate the woodland area, you gain the bonus for the woodland area, which is usually, and at base level is, I think, just getting one dice from the bird feeder. So you're able to take one of the available food options that is available in the bird feeder that's from one of, I think, five dice that's been rolled, basically. And so you can take one of those options. If you've put a card in one of those slots in your sanctuaries, and you've got up to five slots in each area. So in the woodlands, you'd have five different slots. And for each bird that you put in, you get a progressively higher reward for activating that sanctuary. But you also can possibly activate powers that are on those birds as well.
Ooh, like what? Like what? Do they have like magic? Do we have like a mallard of Bob's final form. It's very much
all kind of based on nature and very much based as much as possible in with accurate kind of information about the birds.
Is it like Pokemon
basically
with ducks?
Is it like an albatross with alchemy?
No, there's no backlink. For example, the
magical mallard.
The engine building stuff that you can do, you can make kind of complementary to the area you're in, or you can help another area. So, for instance, you could have things in that original sanctuary.
Peacock.
In the woodlands that give you more food. That makes sense. When you want to go to the woodlands, you get more food, and if you activate that, like one of the powers may be gain any slugs in the area, in the bird from the bird feeder, if a slug is available. So it has to be available, but if it is, when you activate that area, as well as getting the default bonus from that area, you also get to take a bonus slug if it's available as well, basically. But you could also not have that be something food related and have it related to one of the other areas. For instance, the kind of river-based area type thing, you gain more birds from. So you could actually have something in your food habitat that activated something that gave you more bird
cards. Man has a question.
It's not really a question, more of a statement. Out of all the words and phrases that could be uttered on this show, I really didn't think we'd be kicking off this year with bonus slug.
Bonus slug.
Bonus slug. You can have tablets for that.
Yeah. But it's a really kind of nice, peaceful, relaxing, up to five-player game that is a really good board game, and this is a very good video game interpretation of that. There are some limitations. As I said, you lose the tactility of some of the nice pieces. And the main other loss is that it's when you're sitting around a table with other people, it's very easy to kind of glance over what their setups are, what birds they have available and everything like that. You can do that on the video game version. You can scroll through everything because you've got to scroll through that and then scroll through the three different environments for everyone. It's quite laborious when you're playing a five-player game to the point where you probably will give up doing it kind of thing.
So I have a question.
Yes.
When I'm playing a game, I like to know the reasons why I'm engaged in the whole kerfuffle. What is the end game thing you're trying to do here in Wingspan?
One of the nice things about Wingspan and the reason that makes it replayable is that the end goals and the end goals between rounds changes between games as well. You're basically, and there are slight variants to the point scoring, but you're basically just trying to get as many points as possible. You get points for laying eggs. You get points based on the numbers that are on different birds. Like a different bird will just have a different value printed on the cards and will give you that value at the end of the game. You then also get bonus points for, say, having certain birds in certain environments with an egg. That will give you, and the person that has the most points will get a certain
like
point value at the end of the round.
In the Antarctic Circle with an egg.
Well, it might, and but then you also get different sort of in-game, end-game goals that you sort of like have as many birds with wingspans over 65 centimeters or something like that. But you can pick up more of those cards throughout the game as well. But generally, the overall point of the game is to get the most points. It's also a game that plays slightly differently as it scales. When you're playing the two-player game, it's quite different from when you're playing the five-player game, especially because some of the bonus cards are activated by all other players or give all other players a bonus. And so that's a bit of a difference when you're playing with four other players versus when you're only playing against one opponent, basically. But yeah, for some of the disadvantages of the video game, I would say the artwork is kind of equal and very representative of what's in the board game and recreate nicely in the video game. That's kind of equal. It kind of loses on the tactile element, but the one element it does add that's quite nice is actually the audio. It just gives you some random facts about the birds when you lay the bird card down, but it also has like bird calls and other kind of interesting audio things that they've actually added to it. They're all accurate. They're all accurate to the birds within the game. And as I said, most of that stuff is all actual factual information. There's some stuff they've probably fudged with, I'm guessing, in the terms of like number of eggs you can have on a bird and stuff like that. But again, they're scaled to the birds that are more likely to have bigger backs of
edges. You can't fool me. Birds don't have scales. They have feathers.
I think find, though, that it's considered that birds are a distant relation of dinosaurs, which do have scales. And so it may be that at some time in the evolutionary birds may have had scales. If indeed they were birds, then.
But yeah, Wingspan, you can play against AI or human opponents as well, and you can play up to five players. I really enjoy the board game, and I'd say possibly that still wins out in terms of what you can do at the moment. But this is much more portable. It's really helpful that it adds up all the scores as well. That's one thing that video games do much more easily for you than board games. And that is one thing that's slightly complicated about this game, especially when you're learning to play it for the first time. So it's actually a really good way of learning the game because the tutorial is quite good at taking you through stuff as well, basically. So, yeah, I really like that. The one thing I would have liked to see, there's a bit of progression in terms of, like, it keeps track of which birds you've actually encountered and used before, but it would have been nice to have a bigger sense of progression in terms of maybe like having something to play through and something to progress. In Catan, they had various different scenarios and stuff you could play through that I played recently. It would have been nice to have something a bit more in depth than that, but the actual base board game itself, and I say that especially because there are expansions as well, which I hope to possibly come to the digital version, but the actual base game itself is replayable enough that that's not too much of a problem as well. I believe it's $24.99.
It's $17.99
now.
Yeah.
Okay, so even cheaper than I thought, and at that price, yeah, definitely worth picking up. I'd say that makes it even cheaper than the board game. And as I said, it might be a good introductory way to play through the board game, to learn the board game, even if you're planning on, you know, doing that. And then you've got the portable version to take out on the go with you anyway. And
I have one final question. Both versions have
their advantages. Yep.
I have one final question. You talked a lot about tactility. What has a better mouthfeel? One of the playing pieces in the board game version of this, or your Nintendo Switch? Which has a better mouthfeel?
Mouthfeel? I don't know. Like, it's dice, wooden dice. They might be quite nice in the mouth. Everything else in the board game is just cardboardy, not so good.
Right.
So,
okay. I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks. I mean,
Switch a bit plasticky, maybe, but...
You touched on a good point at the end there, Tim, because I always think this with... Because I'm not a big fan of board games, let alone the video game versions of board games. And I always think, what's the point? Because they're not that good. Board games can be very expensive in comparison to the video game counterparts of them. So, yeah, paying $17.99 for this version of the game compared to however much the board game version is, that is a good selling point. I've never thought of that before. So,
also, bird calls.
And I think I had the advantage where
Noel Fielding approaching from over the hill.
The first time I actually played the board game, I was taught it at a convention, which kind of helps as well. Because it might be a reasonably difficult one to learn going for the first time because it does a few things a bit differently as well. So
I've got a funny board game.
Go on.
So you could, if you stream this, you'd be a Twitcher on Twitch, wouldn't you? Because bird watch people they're called anyway. Wow, that went well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back with a bang in 2021.
I think that's fair.
Good. Should we do another one?
Yep.
Oh, another one of Tim's. Christ. Yes.
No, we won't do another one of Tim's. He's had three.
Yes. I've been greedy.
I can roll off some really quick ones for you.
Yeah, go
just
for
to
it.
Get them off
I'm
the
really
list.
I'm really interested in your first one. Can you do that one?
I'll get to that. I've played loads of games over the 4 weeks we've actually been.
I did play other stuff too, but yes.
Yeah.
No, shut up, Timothy. Coleman, you were saying.
So yeah, I've been getting a hankering to play the Walking Dead last two seasons because I only started season three and never actually finished it, and they had a final season since then, and. Then decided, you know what? I fancy playing through them all and looked at some prices on the PlayStation and wasn't particularly impressed with them. But on the Epic Game Store during the sales, I think it was £25 roundabout for Telltale The Walking Dead Definitive Series. And they did one of those weird things where they went, hey, Chris Coleman, here's £10. Go spend it on whatever you want. And I went, yes, thank you very much. I will go get this. So I got it much cheaper. And I've just finished playing through season one and 400 days, the little bonus episode on the end there. So I'm working through now, all the Walking Dead games. I just wanted to say very quickly that if you haven't played the Walking Dead series and you wanted to try it, the definitive version on the PC seems to be the best way to play it. So much of the kind of Telltale jank is eliminated now.
Is it the same game without the Telltale jank though, Coleman?
It plays. So I think I had probably 3 seconds of a scene where a character didn't move their mouth when speaking. That was the only issue I had with the game. And considering when I played this on the Vita, we had scenes where characters just weren't there, but they were talking, you know, empty chairs that the camera was focused on, that kind of stuff. One little oddity to it is for some reason, like dust particles in that game are rendered red. And that wasn't that way in the original, I know that. So something like if there's two characters arguing and having a skirmish and one hits the other one against a wall, like a puff of dust will come out because it's the apocalypse and everything's crap and horrible. But it'll be like a big puff of red suddenly appears. And like, that dust is red. It's very strange. But otherwise, everything else really good. A lot of extra bonuses thrown in there as well. I was running through the art the other day and found some surprising stuff in season one that was cut, including like characters from the main comic book and TV show and stuff. So yeah, really, really good way to play it. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game complete edition is now available on PC, Xbox, PS4 and Switch. I went
to
the Switch version.
It has a corking soundtrack, this game. It's worth the price of admission alone.
I always get the band's name wrong. Is it
Anamanaguchi?
Anamanaguchi, thank you. Yeah, I've heard their stuff before, mainly for other podcasts that usually lift their music for theme tunes. But yeah, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game. This came out on the 360, Xbox Arcade, and PC
then disappeared.
Originally. Possibly on PlayStation Network as well.
I mean, I must admit, I didn't realize this game had such kind of cult following to it. Since I thought it was a good game. Do I think it's an amazing game that's held in high reverence? No, probably not. But
for an Xbox Arcade game at the time, I remember trying the demo and went, yeah, that's good. I will make a mental note of that and pick it up down the line. And then when I went to, it
and
was
this
gone.
This is the line.
404, not found kind of thing. And years later, I found out that Scott Pilgrim, I'm not going to say it every time. I found out the game was pulled because of licensing deals with the comic holders and Universal, and that's all gone now. It's been re-upped through Ubisoft, and they've put the game out again. I think it was Ubisoft that did this. But anyway, if you want to try this game, it's a beat 'em up. It's like Final Fight. It's like Streets of Rage, that type of thing, but a lot more shibby style. It's got a very early 90s arcade aesthetic, more so like the Simpsons game or the Turtles arcade game. Not as good as those, but still, if you're looking to try this game for yourself, now is the time you can actually pick it up without piracy, and it runs very well on the Switch. And they've actually added, because before everything was couch co-op, they've actually added online play to the game. And ooh, they've added the DLC characters as well in there. So I'm playing through as Knives at the moment. But yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. It's not amazing, but if you want to check it out, I think it was $10.99 as well. That's not a bad price for one of these games. They usually chuck them out at like £25. So, hey.
So why did you go Switch, just out of interest?
Again, it's one of these kind of throwaway games that you could stick on the Switch and play it in handheld while you're out and about, and I'm doing a lot of back and forth going into work, so I thought, hey, I'll stick this on there and be fine. So when I'm a little bit burnt out on Hades, I will jump over to this, because
what a
second version Hades. Of Hades on the Switch.
I need to pick up Hades on the Switch so I can sync my PC. Save.
It's worth doing.
I might have already picked
it
up
on Switch.
No, I think I have actually already picked up on Switch.
Oh, there you go. But yeah, that was the first thing I did. I think we were talking about it in Game of the Year, and you said that the crossplay was working now. So I went, I went, okay, I'll pick that up and move my stuff over. I went, right, that
such
is ready.
Such a good game, Hades.
Well,
such a good game.
Let me tell you about other good games. The first one I speak of. So my refund for Cyberpunk 2077 came through.
Hey! Most fun you've had with that game, right?
I was weighing out whether I was going to actually get a refund on that. Because my plan was, do you know what? I'm just going to sink a bunch of time into this over Christmas, get through the story, and enjoy it, I'm assuming, and get back to it later. Because everyone seems
to say
the story is really good. When I next booted it up, the game crashed on boot up, loaded up, reset all my settings, loaded into my save, got stuck in a wall, crashed, reloaded, and then my save was gone.
So same old, basically.
It was quite an exhilarating 20 minutes of loading screens lost.
Excellent.
I didn't get a refund, and you've still probably played it more recently than I have. So I haven't bothered to go in until I hear it's okay again, and I'm not sure how long that's going to be.
I went for the refund instantly, and I thought, you know what? As soon as I get my refund in, I'm picking up Fuser. 19 days it took to get a refund, by the way.
Yeah,
but we did have Christmas over that period, so I'll excuse one or 2 days out of that. But yeah, I picked up Fuser, which, if you don't know, if you remember earlier shows from probably about 2 years ago, we were talking about Drop Mix a lot, because Tim was nice enough to pick me that up for Christmas, and it was really, really cool, and I recommended everyone buy it, because it was constantly on sale on our Amazon, and picking up like 10, 20 quid. Fuser is Drop Mix the game, the video game instead of the card game. And because it is a video game version of the card game, that allows them certain additions to it. So you can be a lot more in depth in your music making. One of the ones that I got my eye drawn towards on the Giant Bomb podcast recently, someone took Chumbawamba and just constantly cut out the word p- and recreated the song, but it just kept saying p- over and over again.
And excellent.
I find that hilarious. So you can do things like chop out vocals and remix them and stuff that way. So there's
this is by Harmonix, isn't it? Original Guitar Hero fame.
And I've got to say, even though like it's a very versatile game in the way you can do your mixing, but a lot of that requires you to first play through the campaign, which is essentially your tutorial on how to play the game properly. Then you could start entering competitions and things and earning in-game currency to buy new tracks or clothes or whatever you want to spend your money on. The campaign can be very hard, and also the campaign in certain sections is really irritating because it's like, okay, to get this correct amount of points on the campaign, I have to drop this beat in here. And by doing that, it starts like mid-sentence of a song and it sounds awful to me. But hey, that's the way I got to play the game.
These kids nowadays with their music.
Yeah.
These kids.
The way this is done is it takes lots of different popular songs from history and modern day and some that are like independent artists that have been brought in for this game, as Harmonix tend to do with their titles. And chops them all up into four different sections. You'll have a bass, a backing, a lead, and a vocal, which sometimes isn't a vocal. It might be piano over the top or something. It depends on the kind of track that you've got. By chopping all those up and setting different RPMs and what have you, you can mix them all together, and you're basically a DJ. It's the most like a DJ you will ever feel until you actually get some proper decks and go, hold on, I have no idea what I'm doing. The kind of setting for Fuser. Fuser is in the game, it is a music festival, and you go to different stages that play in different times of day, and they play different types of music and stuff, and that's where you learn different things from different people. So the first DJ that I kind of tutor underneath is a dance hall instructor, and the next one's like a kid who does more like dubstepy type things, and it kind of progresses from there. A lot of fun. Haven't nearly unlocked enough stuff in that game yet. Much like Rock Band, there seems to be a lot of support in DLC, new songs that are added. I think they retail probably like £1.60 per song, which isn't too bad a track, I guess, these days. But yeah, a lot of fun, having a lot of fun with it. A lot more fun than I was having with Broken Cyberpunk anyway.
I have a question, Mr. Coleman.
Yes.
See, you mentioned the whole campaign mode, and I was a bit... I was keen to possibly pick up this game, but not at this price, because I don't know if I can play the game the way I'd like to play the game. Because when we played Drop Mix, we didn't really play Drop Mix. Like, we experimented with the games and we messed around with them a little bit. But the most fun that we had and the most time that we played with it was just sitting there dropping different beats in and everyone kind of contributing and sitting around drinking and fiddling with it.
Freestyle mode.
Is that something that you can do in this game, or do you have to play through a significant portion of the campaign enough to unlock stuff that gets enjoyable enough?
There is a freestyle mode, and the kind of functionality it brings you is the same as Drop Mix and a little bit more. So like you can pick your own speeds and that kind of stuff. The more in-depth stuff you have to unlock through the campaign mode. But then again, because I jumped straight into freestyle mode, then went to campaign mode, and it kind of starts you off being able to do one thing, and you're like, but I was doing all this in freestyle. Now I can't do that. And it's a little bit confusing that way. So I do recommend playing a couple of levels out of the campaign before jumping into freestyle, just to kind of get your head around it. The only complaint price, because it does feel like it's way overpriced.
They just gave you that ability to mess around for like £20 rather than had like threaded in all that campaign stuff and actually made it harder to get to the enjoyable stuff and charged me a higher price because it was at more development time. Like, I'm not sure I like that at the moment. But,
I only really went into it because I think they knocked £20 off the price for the January sales.
Yeah, and, okay.
Super edition of that is like £100.
And, yeah, exactly.
I didn't go for that, but yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. I will go back to it at some point. I've got other games in my pile of shame first, and then I'll go back to this. But it's a laugh. It's difficult to master, but I kind of wish I went for a PC copy because trying to do this with a controller doesn't feel right. And I don't know if it's any better with mouse and keyboard, but there's just too much, you know, on your controller to be getting your head around. But yeah, Fuser, get it on a sale if you can.
Okay. Yeah,
I might
do that as well, yeah. I'm definitely keen on it, so yeah, but the price...
Well, the only thing that worries me is, am I going to disappear down the rabbit hole of microtransactions with it for extra tracks? because you can buy extra. They're releasing them on a fairly frequent basis. I think it's like £2 a track, which I don't think is unreasonable. But I would imagine at some point in the future there may be kind of a greatest hits version. That-
yeah, and they did do that with rock, because I used to be way into Rock Band, and they did do like playlist sales and stuff where you could get, I think like Red Hot Chili Peppers launched an album that came out the same day on Rock Band.
Wow.
And it was the album price and all that kind of, yeah, they do stuff like that. They really get into it and with the support and stuff. £1.60 I think is a decent enough price for a track. I don't think you're going to go on the store and instantly go, yes, I need this and this and this and this and this, because there's a lot of stuff that you're not going to connect with, like half the stuff on there. I don't know what it is. I'm too old. You know, I need Chumbawamba though. I'll have some of that. But yeah, it's got potential for savings. Harmonix seems to be very good at that kind of stuff. If it sells well enough, they'll support it well enough by the looks of it.
Splendid.
Cool.
Yeah, I might well pick that up then.
Yeah, I'm interested
in
the future.
Fun times.
Definitely grab it on a sale. Don't go full price on it. It's just, it's too much money for what you're getting, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had planned to talk about a couple of games, but I've just had a look at the timestamp on our recording. And, Timothy, I'm just going to talk about one very quickly, because the other two, one of them is a game you've also played, Tim, so we can talk about that next week.
Grindstone, fantastic game, love it.
Yeah, but shush, yep. That's not talking about it next week, Timothy. Jesus. I was just going to talk about one that was many people's 2019 Game of the Year. And that's out
just in time then.
Just in time. But you know, I like Coleman. I've been trying to make some headway with my pile of shame, and Outer Wilds is a game that I've always wanted to get into, but I don't know why I didn't pick it up before. But so Outer Wilds is a game where everything's on a 22-minute time loop. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a spoiler. And it's all about being a multiple world open adventure where you're trying to solve puzzles about this great mystery about why your sun's always going supernova. What the heck is that thing you see when you wake up at the beginning of every 22-minute loop? Who are this strange alien race? Where have some of these people gone? Goodness me, what's that tree doing over there? Why is that rock there and it wasn't there before? All such fun questions.
What
you ask
is
yourself.
A bonus slug?
Yeah, exactly. But it's a really part of the challenge of lockdown actually is trying to find something that genuinely is quite a meditative experience, and I actually find Outer Wilds kind of scratches that itch in some ways. It's although everything's on a 22-minute time loop, it's actually a very chilled out game. It's all about exploration. It feels very open-ended, that you know you don't have to complete it within a certain number of cycles of this kind of endless loop, and it's just about finding out more about this world. And I've just found it, I don't know, it sounds really corny, but kind of quite a wholesome, enjoyable experience. I mean, have you played it, haven't you, come Outer Wilds?
I haven't touched it. I played Outer Worlds, and
yep, likewise. Yeah, I chose my outer and I stuck with it.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good, but I'm waiting for, it's coming to Game Pass in like a couple of weeks, so I'll be.
I thought it
doing
had
that.
Been on Game Pass.
No, that's Outer Worlds.
The Outer Worlds, very confusing, and they were both released at a very similar time. Very, very confusing. But if it does come out on Game Pass, I mean, I think I had it courtesy of a Epic Store giveaway or something like that.
Ooh. Well, they might have it, surely.
You might do. Although I don't know if I did like you did. Had like,
oh,
sometimes
you
if
voucher,
you pick something up,
right,
they give you some random money, and I might have bought it on that.
Are we sure it wasn't on PlayStation Plus at some point?
No, it's not.
I swear I own this game already. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you do own it, load it up. It's one of those things which you doesn't jump off the digital shelf at you, but actually is a really wonderful, enjoyable, puzzly experience that rewards being inquisitive about the world around you. And you're hopping across all of these different planets. So you launch off from your home planet, you've got to land on each new planet. So there's a bit of skill involved too. There's puzzle bits, there's action-y bits, there's kind of quite nice story beats as well throughout the whole thing. And it sounds really ridiculous and really selfish, but Outer Wilds is
I've heard other people say very good things about it.
It's
though,
a
yeah.
really, really well-pitched, beautifully crafted game. And yeah, it's just, you know, you can, every 22-minute run is self-contained. The only shortcoming I would say is that you can't save partway through a run. So yeah, if you start, you're kind of committed for that 22 minutes.
For the next
minutes.
22 minutes. I have a question.
Hmm.
If you only had 22 minutes before your sun went supernova,
yep,
what would you do?
Where am I at that moment?
I don't know. Where would you normally be when your sun's
about to
go supernova?
I don't know. It depends what time of day, Tim. It depends what time of day. Where am I?
What time of day is it in the game? And where is he? Is he in his home?
No. Where am I?
I don't know. It happens in the game.
Well, the days are short in the game, aren't they? Because they've got to try and get day-night cycles in, mate. Your average day is about probably, on your home planet, I don't know, let's say 4 minutes.
That doesn't sound like a very workable working day to me.
No. Sounds like a great working day.
Yeah, one minute.
Yeah, exactly. Laters, bye, see ya.
I'll have that.
I'm here for the
4 minute working week.
We're no longer subject to such things as European Working Time Directive, so I'm not really sure the working day applies anymore.
No, that's it. We're going to be worked to death forever now in the slave minds of the conservative. Anyway, right, yep.
What do you mean, Will?
So anyway, in short, Outer Wilds, much fun, lovely game. Go play it. Definitely worth picking up. And if it's on your pile of shame, as it may well be to many of you, it's well worth shuffling to the top. Give it a bit of get up the top of that pile.
Like I say, it's coming to Game Pass soon, so as soon as that happens, I'll pick it up and we'll have
yes,
to discuss
do.
Further.
Do. It's great.
And the correct answer you were looking for, if you only had 22 minutes before your sun went supernova, is to play a game of Outer Wilds, obviously.
There you go.
Nice. Much more family-friendly than I was expecting, Tim.
Yeah.
Is the sun going supernova and I happen to have caught up on my soaps? Because, 22 minutes is probably...
Yeah.
It'd be like, fast one, I need to know before I die!
Yeah. Not a cliffhanger! No!
Oh, that's the worst thing about death. All those unsolved cliffhangers and unresolved movies.
To be honest, mate,
books.
If I'm about to cark it, I couldn't give a flying whatnot, frankly. It'd be like, oh, crap, that train's getting awful close, awful quick. Wait for the record scratch. How did I get in this situation?
You're probably wondering how I ended up here.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, we're running long, so we ought to finish the show, I think. So it's been a while.
We're glad to be back.
Hopefully we can start talking about things that actually happened in the recent past rather than stuff that happened a while ago and we recorded the super sexy bonus content. Maybe Colm want to get a PS5. Maybe Tim will get past the first level of Demon's Souls.
It's a good joke.
I've already got past the first level of Demon's Souls.
Yeah. Maybe Tim will get past the second level of Demon's Souls.
I've been messing around in level 3 and 4 at the moment.
Oh, well, this could go on a while.
Yeah.
I think we both know that, so we're going to end the show. Chaps, any announcements, any things, any updates on anything, any feedbacks to give?
Well, next week's show, we'll talk about the Resident Evil stream that is happening tonight as we record, because it's going on too late, so we're not reporting on it right now. So that'll be next week, I'm
assuming.
Are
we going to talk about the fact that Lucasfilm, is it now?
That was on the agenda, but then we had too many games to talk about. But yes, Lucasfilm Games is the new brand, kind of like PlayStation Studios and Xbox Game Studios, all that
Indiana
kind of stuff.
Indiana Jones coming back to reclaim his crown as mass murdering
reclaim
archaeologist.
His clown, yes.
Remember Indiana Jones's famous clown?
His famous clown.
Chuckles. I remember
mass
him well.
Mass murdering archaeologists.
Come on, Indy. We got to go to the Temple of Doom.
Yeah, definitely. It's the clown will be the mass murderer.
I remember
that.
Yeah. Bethesda game, Indiana Jones. And everyone knows about this now. And also Ubisoft. Is it Massive? They're working on Star Wars games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
They're meant to be working on an Avatar game, and that's perplexed a few people. There you go.
Who knows
Poor
what's happening with Avatar, eh?
Studios can't expand and work on more than one title.
Between them and IO Interactive getting the Bond license and stuff, there's some really good pairings for
some interesting
good
stuff.
Future
That's
titles.
That's why I'm playing Hitman.
Yeah.
Because I want to get to Bond.
You can see how that's going to work so well. Just they don't even have to do that much, but yeah.
We didn't do a call for feedback, but on the Discord, because Ed loves to be heard.
He said,
my dad has spent over 125 hours on the new Assassin's Creed, and he's only halfway through. What games have you spent hundreds of hours in and still haven't finished?
Demon's Souls, for one. Maybe not hundreds of hours, but getting that way, possibly.
Until recently, it was Days Gone, but I finally rolled credits on that one while we're on break.
One that I spent not enough time with, but
Destiny 2.
Oh, yes, Destiny 2.
I'm hundreds of hours into that, and I still haven't finished it.
Bajillion hours. But I was going to say Horizon Zero Dawn. That's one I need to go back to, on is near the top of my pile of shame for actually finishing. But I don't know anything that I've spent hundreds of hours in without actually completing.
I mean, I would say probably the number of times I've started a run of Witcher 3 but kind of ran out of steam.
Oh yeah, that adds up to hundreds of hours. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's probably hundreds of hours, to be fair.
That's Mass Effect for me. I've started Mass Effect multiple times, more than I've started Witcher.
Okay. I've completed all three Mass Effects. There's a shiny
new Mass Effect collection coming out soon, apparently. So you can relive the magic all over again, Coleman.
Oh, good. So I can spend money on that and start it up and not finish it again.
You lucky little scamp.
Do you think it's going to be in a new engine, or they're at least going to have to redo the engine?
Yes, it's Thomas, the tank.
I reckon, and then all these different sites will do side-by-side videos, much like they did with the Arkham collection, that go, "Ooh, this new engine doesn't do shadows right, does it?" And then everyone would complain. Still sell moderately well. Anyway, if you want to get in contact with the show, you can do so through the comment section of bigredbarrel.com, via our Discord, which there is a link available on the website, and our Facebook and Twitters at Big Red Barrel, and YouTube, Big Red Barrel TV.
Lordy goodness, all of those things.
Yes, and also you can leave us a review in Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Podchaser, and Stitcher. Or, you know, if you listen to a podcast through an app of any kind, usually there's some form of review functionality there. You can leave us a review in app. They get back to us. We can check them out and give you a shout on the show and all that kind of stuff. And also, they help this show go up through the rankings. And that is really
indeed
a nice thing for us.
Lovely. Good. Lovely. So, I think that's about it. Really, isn't it?
Yes. Well,
Coleman's told you where to go on the internet. Go do it. Go do it. BigRedBarrel.com/stufftings.net. Yeah.
Stufftings.
Stufftings.net.
Stufftings.net.
Yeah. Don't go to stufftings.net. That might
that
be.
That sounds bad. Like,
that might be. That might
do
be terrible.
We do not endorse any other websites.
That doesn't sound like the kind of place where you get to duckin recipes, does it?
We barely endorse our website these days, let alone other people's.
But it's true, actually. It's very true. It's very true. Right, we're going to go now. So thank you ever so much for listening. Hopefully you will next week. Thank you for letting us inhabit your brain for the past hour or so. And all that really remains is for me to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
Stufftings.net does go somewhere, but I don't know what it is. It looks like a really old website.
Take one for the team, Coleman. Good work, sir.
Sorry, I've been Coleman. And
yeah, you have.
Really curious, apparently.
All right, so we shall be back with episode 426 next week, and we shall speak at you all then. So, until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.